goodness, has it been a Monday?
I feel very lethargic.
Ah, yeah, and that's not just because you ran 14 times over the weekend, right?
No, that's not the reason why. I did run today as well.
Of course, of course. But, well, it's a Monday, though. That, of course, the voice of Michael Loudon that you're hearing there, producer extraordinaire, phone screener, and a lover of all things British today. How about that?
All right.
So we're getting together. We're talking about some all sorts of things, really. We've got Proposal 1. We're going to dig into that a little bit later. You've been seeing the signs around about this one. You've been reading a few stories here and there. But what's it all about? Is it good? Is it bad? That kind of thing. We'll dig into that a little bit later on. Also, there's been a lot of talk in this particular election cycle about outside money in the campaign, particularly in the Senate race. You've seen it on both sides. Is it good for the state? Is it bad for the state? We'll dig into that a little bit later as well and talk with you about it. Of course, if you want to get in on the program at any time, you can give us a call, 382-4280 or 877-382-4280. That's our toll-free number. You can also text us if you like, 80373, and all the appropriate texts we do share. The inappropriate texts, Michael chuckles at silently to himself, unless his mic's on, and then he might chuckle while I'm talking, which... If that's what's happening, that's what's going on.
It happens occasionally.
It does. It does. So, by the way, this program, this portion of the program is brought to you by the Cancer Control Coalition of Southwest Michigan. Glad to have them on board with things. Also glad to have you on board. Before we dig in here in just a minute, and in fact, John Hoadley is in studio, and we'll be chatting with him here in just a minute, running for a very important office. And we'll dig into what he has to say about education, roads, whatever happens to come up. We're going to have a wide-ranging discussion with him here in just a minute. Before we get to all of that, coming up sometime in the next couple of hours, I'd like to give away some movie tickets because I'm that kind of guy. I know you like to give them away too, Michael, right?
Yes, I do.
Of course, of course. So we're going to give away 4 tickets. You know, this is the year of Hercules, and this particular movie, this is the one with Dwayne Johnson in it. He plays Hercules. I think he would do a good job. Something tells me.
Yes, at least I believe he would.
Looks very muscle-bound and that kind of thing. So we've got 4 tickets to that. We'll be giving them away sometime during the course of the program. And because Michael is sharp and he listens, that means we're also going to have a dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia question. You've heard these things. They're not all that hard. But he feels the need to ask them. So, you know, we'll let him do that. That's coming up later in the program. Also, video of the day. Video and blog post of the day, both in the blog section at WKZO.com. If you like Game of Thrones, and the theme is so unique, so fun, the video of the day, it's actually videos of the day. There are 4 of them. Of course, the original theme, you got to hear that. And then someone's done kind of a remix of it. It's really unusual. Someone's done another one that what it would have been like had this been made in the 80s. So it's kind of this synthesizer thing. It's interesting. And then the Queen's Guard in Britain have done their own version, which somebody caught on video. It's priceless. You got to check it out. It is in our blog section. Also posted on our Facebook page, as will be the blog post of the day a little later, where I get the opportunity to sound off on what's going on with Ukraine, Russia, all of that. I got some opinions on this. I want you to check it out. I want to start the conversation with you, so head on over there when you get the opportunity, WKZO.com, and click on the blog post of the day. You'll be able to check that out. All right. Well, I want to welcome to the program. John Hoadley is a Democrat running for the 60th State House District. Correct me if I'm wrong on that one. I think I got that one right.
Got that right. Thanks for having me.
All right. And I had a chance to just meet you face-to-face the other day, which you were part of a candidate get-together provided by the Gazette, and that was kind of a fun evening going over some different things. We talked roads. We talked medical marijuana. That was a fun discussion.
Yeah, decriminalizing marijuana. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
But one of the things that I know is near and dear to your heart is education.
Absolutely.
And I know, you know, you've got a white paper that you put out on that. You've got the details, and I noticed this today. It's posted at your website. So if people are interested in seeing this a little bit later or following along, you've got the 9-page PDF there.
That's right. You can go to John Hoadley. That's JohnHoadley.com. And it's a big red button at the top, you know, read about the education plan.
There you go. So, and this is not John Hoadley, the photographer. I learned that one the hard way. So.
Yeah, there's also a book illustrator and I think a dog trainer. So
there you go.
Yeah, I'm in good company.
For a while there, I thought you were a multi-talented guy. You know, that's
well, I try to be well-rounded.
So education, let's dig into this a little bit because you've looked at the education program. We talked a little bit off air about it. You've got some recommendations here, and I wanted to go through these one by one. It looks like it's a five-step plan at this point that you're looking at.
Well, and you know, I hope this is the start of a conversation on education. Mm-hmm. There's never just going to be one solution that's going to work to solve all of our problems. You know, at the start of the paper, you'll see that talking to experts, talking to administrators, talking to teachers, we all agree that poverty is one of the largest barriers to making sure that we have quality public education. So even if we have the best schools and the best teachers, we got to make sure that there's an environment at home for learning. But I have put together 5 points that I think that we can do in Michigan in the legislature that would help us improve and strengthen public education, some of which cost money, some of which are free.
Okay. Well, let's go through it one by one, and you know, you can get the basic 5 points at the website. This goes into a bit more detail, and so let's hit some of the details and high points here. Your first point has to do with early childhood education. Talk a little bit about that.
So the first point is we need to support and strengthen early childhood education programs that are working. Mm-hmm. They've got a track record of success. You know, this is a place where there's bipartisan agreement. Mm-hmm. I was actually very excited that in the last budget, Governor Snyder increased funding for early childhood education. Mm-hmm. We increased the number of students that could have access to the Great Start program. But 29,000 students who could be in that program aren't because of funding issues. Mm-hmm. We know that these are programs that not only improve educational outcomes, but they save us money in the long run. One of my favorite is for every dollar we spend on things like Great Start, we get 43 cents back just because there are fewer students who repeat grades. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things that's a very quick return on investment. But, you know, with the brain science, it's telling us that most of the connections in your brain cells are really developed in those first 3 years of life, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of new parents know this. That's sure. Why we got all that stuff, you know, to help their kids learn. We're reading, we're talking. And so we, from a public policy standpoint, we should be investing in that time as well. Mm-hmm. So that way that all of our students, all of our kids are coming from a more developed point once they actually enter, you know, traditional kindergarten and then K-12 education.
Now, when you look at it, I mean, you're talking about 1,000 days, basically the first 3 years of life. Is that a little bit more of a formal training kind of thing, or are working with parents to be able to help them do what they do best?
Well, most of the recommendations in here really support parents taking leadership,
okay. But
providing support to do that. And some of them are a little bit more expensive, but have even better returns. Things like the nurse family partnership, mm-hmm. which helps them have in-home visits for new parents, especially folks that maybe are younger moms and dads. And it helps address both then some of the health issues related to having a newborn, mm-hmm. you know, everything from nutrition to just good educational best practices that result in improved health outcomes, reduction of impacts of poverty, and ultimately then better educational outcomes.
Okay. All right. One of the other things on here, and you know, ultimately there's brass tacks for all of this, and costs are certainly a concern, and I do want to ask you about that a little bit later. But for now, as we're talking here with John Hoadley, a candidate for the 60th District, talking about the education plan, the second point of the plan talks about retaining teachers.
We need to attract and retain the best teachers to improve education. Part of the thinking on this plan came from my conversations that I was having with teachers in the schools. Mm-hmm. And it really – I come from a family of teachers. So, I mean, education is something that's in my DNA. It's mm-hmm. something that we talk about all the time. My parents are university professors. So I really heard it from a lot of different perspectives.
Sure.
But when I was talking to teachers and they were telling me that when a student asks them, should they become teachers, a lot of them are saying no. And mm-hmm. it's not because the student wouldn't be an amazing educator. It's because the profession's been under attack. Teachers are continually asked to do even more and more with less support. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's a lot of frustration that says, you know, these are folks that are really trying to – they get into education because they love kids. And mm-hmm. you know, and that's not being recognized. So there's some simple ways that we could attract and retain the best teachers, one of which is related to hiring. Mm-hmm. So for about a fifth, 20% of first-year teachers end up leaving after their first year. You know, just like any profession, you find out maybe it's not for you.
Sure.
But if those teachers are hired after Labor Day, they actually about a third of them, over a third of them leave. So literally those, as a matter of weeks, can depend on how long we retain a good teacher.
Okay.
And so one thing that the legislature can do is continue to finish our budget process sooner to really give some clarity to the school districts with the school aid fund and budgets coming up earlier so they can actually just hire early.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that little thing helps us attract and retain the best teachers. And we want those teachers to stick around, right? Because the teachers that can be there for, you know, 3, 5, 10 years, they're the ones that have the experience. They're the ones that can really write those best recommendations for college and all those things because they get involved in your life.
And that kind of an effort sounds like it's something that really wouldn't cost much of anything.
Exactly. That's just good government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's also things we can do to provide more administrative support or encourage our superintendents to provide more administrative support to the work that teachers do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those are things that cost, you know, pennies on the margin, but have a huge impact by making it a quality, efficient education environment. And I'm really proud. We've got pretty good leadership here in Kalamazoo. So these are out exporting some of the great ideas that we have here to other places in the state.
Now, I think one of the things that I have heard as a complaint from teachers is they're in things, you know, they talk about their day is taken up with a lot of different things that they have to do, requirements to get this done and that done. There's really not, at least in their minds, that area for innovation, for improving teaching in their personal classroom. Do you feel like that there's some way that we could address that as well to maybe get a little more local control and classroom control in schools?
Well, a big thing we have to do is give teachers that freedom to innovate and trust that when we hire professionals that they're going to do a professional job.
Mm-hmm.
And with this freedom that we need to give teachers, you know, it's about that support piece. It's about making sure that the instructional support is there in the school. So teachers aren't both trying to play catch up during their planning sessions, working during their lunch hour so that then they can't get the work done or the time to think and reflect on what they need to do in that day.
Sure.
And so overall, I think that there's a lot of room there. But it's just like, I think a lot of middle class and working class folks, we've felt this over the last few years. We're being squeezed from every end, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't just a problem about teaching. It's where we're being asked to do more and more and more with less or, you know, if we're lucky, the same amount of resources.
Sure.
And that's not going to be sustainable for job growth, for really a healthy environment here in Michigan.
Okay. Now, another thing that and this one is big in the news right now, the teacher retirement system, funding that. You want to improve that?
I think we can create some efficiencies there. I should start by saying that we've made an obligation. We made a contract that said that we're going to forego some of our compensation so we'll have secure retirements. You know, and that's the choice a lot of folks made. And so we have an obligation to support that. But there's ways that we can do that are going to help us be more transparent, that's going to help us make the system more sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
We used to do most of our funding at the state level for MPSRS, the Michigan School and Public Employee Retirement System.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those situations where there was a shell game that kind of happened, and those costs were shifted down to the local districts.
Mm-hmm.
And now they tried to make these caps, so they literally take some money off the top of the school aid fund before they take it out of the per pupil allowance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are sort of things though that are really down in the weeds. At the end of the day, we could do a couple of things that are smart, like just taking care of our MPSRS contributions at the state level first.
Mm-hmm.
That really then lets us see, from an apples-to-apples perspective, how many dollars are we spending on the classrooms, make sure we're continuing to support our teachers. But also means that some of the school districts, the for-profit charter schools that benefit from having those extra MPSRS contributions in that pure pupil allowance but don't pay into the system, they're not getting to benefit off of a program they're not paying into.
Okay. All right. I noticed that you talk a little bit as well about the lottery, maybe involving that in the funding for this.
Yeah, one thing we could do. So currently a third of the lottery funds are put into the school aid fund.
Mm-hmm.
And then those that gets then recalculated down into the per pupil foundation allowance. I mean, one thing I'm just saying is why don't we just pay, you know, out of for the MIPSR's contributions first, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we could do that with those lottery contribution dollars first. And then, you know, we're really, like I said, we'll have that apple to apples comparison about what's making it into the classroom, making sure that the only money that's supposed to support the MIPSRs is actually going to programs that then pay into the retirement system.
Okay.
These are some pretty, again, it's some pretty common sense things that I think a lot of folks in Michigan assume are happening, mm-hmm. but they're not. Mm-hmm. And that's why having, you know, we've been spending a lot of time going door to door, having conversations with people, because people are talking about education.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some, and a lot of folks don't know that in the last few years, there's been some major changes. The expansion of for-profit charter schools, the reduction ultimately in per pupil foundation allowance to public schools. You know, there's been some big changes, and we got to turn that around.
Okay. We're talking with John Hoadley. He's running for state representative, the 60th district. He's in the Democratic primary, and we're going to continue ahead. Talk about a couple more points on this, and if we can manage to get to it, I want to talk to him about roads, because that's a big deal with a lot of people. Tons of questions about that one. So we'll continue that with you as we continue ahead on the Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. -83 degrees in Kalamazoo. It's 590 WKZO and the Jeremy Lawrence Show. This portion of the program brought to you by Heritage Christian Academy, your local pre-K through 12 school where faith turns friends into family. Been talking with John Hoadley. He is the Democrat running for the state representative, 60th district. We've been talking about his education plan. Moving on now, John, if we can, to point four. You talk about at-risk schools and district improvements. Enlighten us a little bit on that point.
Yeah, this was one that from my conversations I've had about, you know, how do we make sure that public education remains competitive? And there's a whole number of districts in low-income areas that can't really afford the improvements to their schools that would make them attractive for the next generation, really, you know, give a quality educational experience. I'm talking about a great public-private partnership here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can create a pool that can help choose and invest in places where local folks are stepping up. They're trying to do the right thing, but it just becomes cost prohibitive.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, you know, build some things, make some jobs. You know, this is a real economy booster here in addition to being good for education. And then my last point I talk a lot about here too is researching and implementing changes to adequately fund the real costs of a child's education.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeremy, this one's going to shock you a little bit, but we have a bill that's sitting in the legislature. It's House Bill 5269. It would have us do an adequacy study. Because we don't actually know what it would cost to adequately educate a child in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it's sitting there is because folks are afraid of the answer. You know, what if we're not spending enough? What would we have to do? What if we're spending too much? That's great too.
Mm-hmm.
But the point of it is that the first thing we can do is say, let's get like many other states, let's do some research. Let's figure out the real cost and then figure out how do we make this a priority in our budget. And then the second thing I'm doing is saying, not every grade level costs the same amount.
Mm-hmm.
So let's be realistic. It costs more to educate a high school student than it does a first grade student. And so, you know, we can restructure our funding so it actually tracks at the grade level per student. And we can recognize that, you know, the support services for low-income districts cost more. When students are in those English as a second language programs, which exist oftentimes just for a couple of years, there's additional costs for those short periods.
Sure.
So let's pay for that. And let's have it really reflect the fact that it does not cost the same to educate every child.
Now, two-part question here, and I alluded to it before. With any of these things, obviously some of these are a work in progress. It's not a full-blown plan at this point. But how do you pay for some of these things? And then the other part of it, because there are Republicans in control right now, you're going to have to develop some bipartisan support for some of this. How would you plan on going about that?
Well, I think that there's, like I said, some of the things here are would be minimal cost or no cost, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like we talked about those efficiencies with when you hire a teacher.
Sure.
Great. Some things, like the if we created some alignment, efficiency, and, you know, ultimately centralized that MIPSR's contributions piece, we could actually come out ahead on that deal. and so save money that would not otherwise be going out, leaving education or leaving our system. And I think that when, you know, when some of my Republican friends take a look at that, there's real interest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the hard work, liberty, freedom, the idea, none of that though says that you should get money for a program that you're not paying into.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's some real consensus that we can build on those points. You know, public-private partnerships for the at-risk school districts.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, all of my conservative friends agree we have to have education to be successful. But what are ways that we can make sure the community is really stepping up? And then, of course, you know, there's a reason that things like early childhood education already have support. You know, we're talking about scaling those up, and it's mm-hmm. because those programs work. So, you know, we're going to pay for it some way or the other, right? We're going to put that money into education or prisons mm-hmm. or education or, you know, lost job opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, you know, let's put the smart investment out there. So how we're going to pay for it, you know, the first thing we need to do is make sure that we have a priority-based budget. So if education is our long-term priority, then let's look at that and let's reconfigure our budget to meet it. If our if you know, the other piece here is if education is our top priority, then let's make sure everyone's paying their fair share so we can actually support it from both the state aid fund and the general fund.
Okay, we've been talking with John Hoadley, talking about education. John, can you stick around and talk roads here in just a little bit?
You betcha.
All right. We'll stick around and talk with roads with him. Bob Larson coming up with the weather as well. You keep it right here. It's 83 degrees in Kalamazoo. A little bit warm out there. 590 WKZO. Jeremy Lawrence here with you. The appropriately named Jeremy Lawrence Show. Michael Loudon with me as well. Now, you were running earlier today, right?
Yes, I was.
Okay. And warm for you then?
No, not too bad. It was 60s, I would say.
Okay.
I ran at about 8:20 in the morning.
You hit it early then?
Yes.
Okay.
I made sure because I didn't want to run in this heat.
Yeah, that there's something to explain. Yeah, the reason why I'm sweating and lost 12 pounds is...
Because I ran in the heat.
Now, the question is, and we'll ask Bob Larson this here in just a couple of minutes. You know, we're looking at humid weather today, but are we going to be looking at that for the rest of the week now?
Well, from what I looked at, maybe tomorrow, but then after that, I think it's going to cool back off into the 70s and 50s at night, so
yeah,
I think we'll be okay.
My gut said no, but I wanted to clarify that, and particularly with him, because, you know, he's the man. He knows his stuff.
Yeah, Bob knows more than what I do. I just look at and guess.
He's probably forgotten more about weather than the two of us would ever know put together. So. But we'll be talking with him here in a little while. And the big precipitation question, is there going to be any? Because, you know, as we go along, we're falling just a little bit further behind on where we need to be for rain and that kind of thing. Is that going to be an issue and that kind of thing? You wonder about that sort of stuff. So we'll look into that here with Bob here in just a little bit. Note for you, baseball-wise, if you are a Tiger fan, well, guess what? Yes, the Tigers do have games. Yes, they're tonight. They're late ones. Get started at 9:15 tonight as they do battle with the Diamondbacks in Arizona. So it looks to be a three-game series tonight, tomorrow night, 9:15. And then an afternoon game on Wednesday that gets started at 3:15. Needless to say, it won't be a show that day, I have a feeling. But you get Tiger baseball, so it's all good. We'll be continuing our conversation with John Hoadley, who's running for the 60th District State Rep. We'll be talking with him here in just a few minutes. But right now, we want to have a little conversation with the one, the only, Bob Larson. Hi, Bob.
Good afternoon, Jeremy.
So it's a hot one out there. Well, not hot, but a warm one.
Yeah,
out
but
there.
It feels hot compared to where we've been over the past week or so, because we're not, it sounds strange in the middle of July, but we're mm-hmm. not used to it.
Yeah. We've not had this kind of humidity. But the big question is, are we going to be dealing with this for a while, or is it going away sometime?
It's not going to last terribly long. We've got another day coming up tomorrow. Tomorrow's the peak of this warm spell. It's been slowly warming up the past few days, each day a little warmer than the day before. The trend continues tomorrow. Then it goes the other way. We cool it off starting with Wednesday.
Okay. All right. So with that kind of weather, what's the word that you've prepared for
us
today?
The word is balance. This warm-up that we're having right now and that continues tomorrow is kind of making up for the extended period of cool weather we had last week. It won't completely balance out because this is only going to be 2 or 3 days' worth of warmth compared to maybe a week and a half of, or at least a week of very cool weather. So it doesn't fully balance the scales, but it's starting to trend that way. Try to balance it out.
Okay. Now, the big question when it comes to rain, where is it? When is it coming? When is it coming? And how long does it last? And will it help us catch up?
It's tomorrow night into Wednesday morning that we anticipate rain. That's the approach and arrival of the next cold front for the north and west. Until the front gets here, it's rain-free, probably right through the daylight hours of tomorrow. But it's tomorrow night when storms could be moving into the area and sun could be heavy, potentially severe tomorrow night. And whereas I think the worst of the storms are over by Wednesday, probably still be a couple of leftover showers Wednesday morning before it clears out Wednesday afternoon. In terms of amounts, well, certainly rainfall amounts always vary when you're talking about thunderstorms, but in general, I don't think there's going to be enough to get us to catch up. We almost caught up about a week or two ago. We got within a half inch, and then, of course, it's been mostly dry the past several days, and we've fallen off again. So we would need a couple of days at least worth of showers and storms to get us caught up to average. Not expecting that.
Okay, but it's still not anything that we should be real worried about.
No, we're not in any kind of major drought or anything, no.
Okay, Bob, one more question about this. You made mention of the showers and thunderstorms. Looks like, tomorrow night?
Right.
What do you think, just your thoughts on this, I mean, what do you think the possibility of those being severe? I know you mentioned it, but, you know, are we looking at, might happen, or there's a definite possibility.
We're not in the most favorable area. The most favorable area is earlier tomorrow evening on the other side of Lake Michigan, speaking of Wisconsin, southward to Chicago. Mm-hmm. They seem to be in prime territory. By the time they get to us later tomorrow evening, it might be starting to weaken. It's not to say they can't still be an isolated severe storm, but I don't rate it as a likelihood at this point.
Okay, just a could be.
Right.
Okay. All right.
It depends on your definition of severe. I think we will have a quick downpour or two, but not necessarily large hail and damaging winds. No.
Okay. All right. Well, Bob, have yourself a good Monday, and we'll chat again tomorrow.
Hey, Jeremy. Sounds good.
All right. Bob Larson with AccuWeather there. And as we continue the program, John Hoadley is here in studio, and we're going to be talking with him about roads. We talked education a little bit ago. But I want to pick his brain on the road issue. You know, everybody's got an angle on this. We're going to find the right answer to this. So we'll talk with him and continue talking about what you're interested in. The Jeremy Lawrence Show, right here on 590 WKZO. It's 346, 590 WKZO, the Jeremy Lawrence Show. Been spending some time this afternoon with John Hoadley. He is running for the 60th District State Representative position. He's in the Democratic primary. It's a three-way race. John, we were talking about that a little bit off air, and that's got to be a real encouraging thing to be part of a race that is going to be so competitive. And as you were saying, you know, particularly for Democratic voters in this thing, a lot of choices there.
You know, it's been great. When we're talking at the doors, everyone is so civil. You know, this idea that we have three excellent choices. You know, I'm just happy to be even on the same ballot as folks that have served for so long in Kalamazoo. You know, the thing I think that I'm really excited about, too, is that we all bring something different to the race. Mm-hmm. You know, my wheelhouse is public policy related to education. You know, I bring some new energy and some new ideas and new voices to the conversation. But, you know, there's different types of experience in the race and different backgrounds. And, I think that makes for good democracy when folks have real choices.
Certainly, certainly. And I have to admit, you know, what I've seen of the race to this point, I mean, you mentioned just how people are being civil. I mean, this is not like the back and forth you see on Fox or CNN or MSNBC or anything. There's a lot of good debate that goes on when we're talking about things like the policy comes out, which honestly, from my perspective, is great.
Well, thanks. You know, this is folks said I was a little crazy for releasing a plan on education about nuts and bolts before, an election because we're told you're not supposed to do that. But voters in the 60th district are pretty smart. And, you know, I think this is one of those things where we can put our ideas and talk about the ideas out mm-hmm. there, you know, and that's really about a conversation for the future then too.
Sure.
You know, what are the best ideas that are going to help move Michigan forward? And I hope folks think about those type of ideas and conversations when they go vote on August 5th.
Okay. Now, John, one of the things that voters talked about, and they've talked about it here on the program, we talked about it in the media, it has been all over the place, roads.
Roads.
And, you know, obviously, if you've driven the roads in Michigan, this is my second time living in the state. Roads were not good back then. Roads are not good now. So not much has changed. That's good.
Well, but statistically, they've gotten worse, unfortunately.
But, you know, what kind of a solution do you look for roads? I mean, you know, people are talking about, and there was, you know, lots of hubbub about the Senate raising taxes. They didn't end up doing it. And there was a house plan that didn't get much of anywhere. And where do you get something where everybody can sit down and go, yeah, that's what we need to do?
Well, the first thing to know is there's no simple solution here. Mm-hmm. Just to move this conversation forward, it's going to take a package of bills that are going to move forward. When I talk about it with voters, though, I say we need an all-of-the-above approach. Mm-hmm. And so before jumping into the road specific and bridges, right, we got to make sure we're keeping those up to date too. And we can be doing more for non-motorized transit, which helps them reduce strain on the roads in the long term and promotes livable communities. We can be doing more to make sure that we are that we're making sure that folks that have the environmentally friendly cars, that they're paying their fair share too, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. 'Cause, you know, bravo for them for taking that step. But, you know, cars are cars and they drive the same number of miles, mm-hmm. you know, so we got to deal with those issues. Mm-hmm. That when I've been talking to people, ultimately, we've been short about $1 billion a year on road funding. Mm-hmm. And, you know, billion and a half, depending on what numbers you're looking at. So we need to find a sustainable way to do that. Anyone that tells you they can do that without raising taxes or fees, they're lying to you. Mm-hmm. You know, and I always want to tell it like it is. But ultimately, it's going to take probably some combination of, you know, wholesale tax increase, gas tax increase, user fees, etc. Mm-hmm. My big thing, though, that I just want to keep putting out there is that we've tried to keep up with some of our spending levels by nickeling and diming users. That's why our user fees have gone up. The license plate fees have gone up. All mm-hmm, these things that, mm-hmm. that working people pay have gone up.
Sure.
But folks that use the roads the most have not borne the same responsibility. So I think we will probably all need to kick in something to make this work. Mm-hmm. You know, but ultimately, it's one of those situations where why don't we look to having some folks that use the roads the most in those heavy trucks, that the corporations that are making their money sending their products to and from here, that they pay their fair share, which they're not right now.
Okay.
You know, one last thing about it, though.
Certainly.
Our roads are really a gift from a generation before, right? Mm-hmm, our mm-hmm. parents and our grandparents paid. They put up real money to pay for this infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And we have an obligation to at least take care of it, you know, mm-hmm. maintain it. And so I think one of the things that's being lost here is that we got to remember that, 20 years ago and 40 years ago and, you know, 60 years ago, when we were building these amazing American innovative products, right? Highways that connected us coast to coast, mm-hmm. that folks paid more. They kicked in and they said, this is good for America. Mm-hmm. And we need to have that same attitude to say, we got this gift and it's our responsibility to take care of it.
Now, two questions, because there's in this debate, I've heard criticisms from both sides on this one. The one side basically saying, well, all right, if you're going to tax businesses a little more, that ends up limiting some of the opportunity in the state. And that is one side of it. I think the other side of it, and there may be some legitimacy to this as well, that if you're talking about gas tax increases and increases on just your average working person, there are people that are just out there trying to make ends meet and can't really afford that. How do you address both sides of that?
Well, so two things on that. The first is someone's going to pay, right? Mm-hmm. And the question is, we're saying, should we tax profits, right? After a business has already been successful, tax some of those profits mm-hmm. To put back in our community? Or should we tax essentially the consumers who then may not have enough to actually afford the product? Mm-hmm. You know, this is a situation where we want to do what's best for both Michigan and businesses. And by paying a little bit more after you've already made your profits, then that's going to keep your customers and keep growing our business. But the second piece on this is that I don't want to limit opportunity for anybody. Mm-hmm. But the current plan, this current trickle-down economic thing is not working for us. We've got We're projected to be 49th out of 50th for job growth over the next decade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, I guess we could get a little worse, but, you know, I'm hoping that we can get a lot better. Places like Minnesota figured this out a while ago when they said, we're going to ask folks to kick in a little bit more, but we end up with a state with a much higher per capita income, you know, better roads, right? That's what we're talking about, better mm-hmm. education, and ultimately faster economic growth. So we know what works. Let's use those best practices.
Okay. In terms of getting back to it, though, there are people that are going to be legitimately facing a hardship if taxes go up. How do you deal with them?
Absolutely. I mean, we have to make sure that we take care of everybody. And so, you know, there's a lot of ways to help with that. One thing we could do is restore the earned income tax credit. So folks whose taxes go up but are making at the lower ends, right near the poverty level or slightly above, that they're not being penalized, because if you work hard and you play by the rules, you shouldn't end up at the end of the year in poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, over the last few years, we cut that from essentially a 20% credit down to 6%. So there's room to grow that back up in a reasonable way that really helps people that are working.
Okay. All right. We're speaking with John Hoadley. We've been talking with him for the last little while, the running for state rep for the 60th district in the Democratic primary. One thing that I think is, John, really important if you're running for any campaign and that kind of thing is being able to lay out, all right, here's what I think the top issues are, and these are the things why I'm running. Now, I think it would be fair to say education's on your list without a doubt.
I think
we've been
so
talking
too.
Yep. About that as well, but what do you think maybe is the other three or four that you really feel like these are the things we really need to dig into?
My number one issue is always going to be education.
Mm-hmm.
We're the city of the promise. We have to do that. It's the largest investment we make in the next generation. The second conversation I'm having, though, is an economy that works for everybody. You know, we have an obligation to be thinking about what's best for job growth, for our long-term health and sustainability of Michigan. For me, that's an economic plan that puts more money back in working people's pockets, because mm-hmm. when we have that money, we spend it, and spending drives the economy. You know, you hire more people when you sell more widgets.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, as a business owner myself, let's give folks a raise. Let's repeal the senior pension tax, things that ultimately put money back in our economy from working people that are going to spend those dollars and drive local growth. Last but not least, I talk a lot about the environment and social justice. Overall, we are pretty good on those issues here in Kalamazoo. I mean, there's always room for improvement. You know, we're dealing with the violence issue this summer.
Mm-hmm.
But by and large, you know, we have a lot to be proud of, and we can be leading on those conversations across the state to protect our groundwater, to make sure everybody feels welcome here. I saw someone just tweet at me asking, you know, what we should do about ice holds. You know, so it's a conversation about how are we going to make sure that everybody feels welcome, and we're encouraging, you know, appropriate folks to be here in Michigan, you know, smart immigration policy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these are all things that the legislature can do to support. So anyone who says, I've got a great idea, I've got something to contribute, that they see Michigan as the place to go.
Okay. All right. One of the things, and we alluded to this earlier, I've heard you describe yourself as a progressive Democrat.
Absolutely.
That's correct then. Okay. When it comes down to it, though, I mean, knowing that there are people of all different stripes in this state, lots of different beliefs, and you're going to have to deal with, you know, should you make it to Lansing, a lot of different ideas on how to get things done. How do you, at the end of the day, put all of that together so Lansing doesn't end up looking like what Washington does now?
Good point. You know, and I think a good idea is a good idea. So mm-hmm. whether it comes from a progressive Democrat, a Tea Party Republican, or anyone in between, the point is we should be having a conversation about what's best for Michigan. I'm really proud of my track record of working across the aisle to build consensus. My job in my company is to manage coalitions. So we bring a diverse set of stakeholders to the table to have important conversations and then keep everybody there, which can sometimes be a difficult process.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, through that work, you know, we're having really smart conversations in the legislature right now about passing a civil rights bill that would include gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people mm-hmm. in a Republican legislature. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's because reasonable people are saying, you know, let's look at what's best for Michigan. That's the type of leadership I would love to be able to bring to the legislature, along with my new experiences. You know,
mm-hmm.
there's a whole generation that are thinking about what's it going to be like to buy a house with this economy. What's it like to have our kids go through public
school?
There's
a current generation wondering about that as well.
Right? I mean, we're all asking these questions. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things I really hope I can do while working across the aisle is be that bridge that connects the legacy of all the things that have made Michigan great, right? We build things, we grow things, we move things to the challenges and opportunity that we're going to face now. And I really hope I can be that voice with the support of folks here in Kalamazoo.
Okay. We've been talking with John Hoadley. He is running for the state representative, 60th district. John, just to give you a minute here, pitch your website, let people know how they can find you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I love being here. If you want to continue the conversation, you can. I'm on Twitter, at John Hoadley. I'm also on Facebook, John Hoadley. Or if you want to go to the website to read the education plan or find out more about where I stand on my values and issues, visit johnhoadley.com. That's JohnHoadley.com.
Okay. John, appreciate you stopping by the show. You're always welcome anytime to come discuss policy and ideas. Did you know? I think that's what people want to hear.
Well, I appreciate it, Jeremy, and thanks everyone who's been listening to the conversation.
Okay, as we continue the program, Outside Money, Good or Bad, and Proposal 1. What's this thing all about, anyway? We'll dig into that in the next hour. The Jeremy Lawrence Show right here on 590 WKZO.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO, Kalamazoo.